But I'm turning somewhere. Place. Well, you can be there. There works. Okay, let's pray, and then you can be seated after we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your appointed times and the meanings that you've given to each, the prophetic and the fulfilled. I thank you that the ultimate fulfillment of this holiday is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The full redemption and coming to faith of Israel. Lord, I anticipate that day. And as we move into Sukkot, the celebration that follows of proclaiming Yeshua is King and worshiping the King in the holy city. Lord, I thank you for your word that it's sure and it will happen. Until that day, may we be about the calling upon our life, about your business, and about completing the task that we have begun. Keep us focused, keep us directed, and keep us close to you. And I thank you again that the main theme of this holiday throughout the world, the rabbis have been saying, draw near to God. I pray we would be doing that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please be seated. Pardon that. Now, one little note, side note here. You may have noticed this. You have been here a while. Okay, you may have noticed that we did not take an offering today. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that the bills have stopped coming in today. And you know what? Next week we're not here either. We're at the campout. So how does this all work? Well, some of you who come from various kinds of synagogues understand that at the holiday services you buy tickets. Some of you know how much those are for the seats. They're quite a bit. And also you pay dues to join the synagogue. We don't do any of that. Everything is free here. So we depend on you and your giving. So if you came today prepared to give something, we have a box in the back. You can put it in there. And if not, there's some envelopes you can take home with you and mail them to us, and that goes for next week as well. So we just invite you to keep praying for our financial needs, because how they're met is through you. So if God speaks to you, do what he says. Thank you. Well, here we are. Now, some of us are fasting and getting grumpy. Starting to, huh? Boy, Yeshua fasted. Now, one of the times that he fasted, it had to do when he was facing temptation. Interesting time, because when you fast, you tend to get physically weaker. And so Satan was given all he could at a time when he was at his physical weak point. But what he said was, at that point, is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay? So, people come to our services year after year, holiday after holiday, feast after feast, oneg after oneg. Okay? Expecting, you know, at the holiday, expecting to hear, you know, they come here, they tell me, because they want to hear the real meat of the word. Why am I talking about food today? I don't know. Well, they want the real meat of the word versus, you know, some watered down, oh, there's water again, watered down stuff. Why am I thinking these thoughts? I don't know. And there's nothing under here today. I've been robbed, okay? You know, some watered down version of a holiday service. Well, most people, when they say those words, though, when they say, when they refer to the real meat of the word, not the milk, all these food thoughts today, huh? What do they mean? By the way, you don't mix the meat and the milk, right? Right. So it gets complicated around here, doesn't it? Well, they generally mean this. When they say, we want the real meat of the word, they mean, I want something from the book of Revelation. I'm sure they teach Revelation. Now, you might not be aware of this, but where we live on the radio, you turn on, you can never hear anything about Revelation on the radio, can you? Never. Come on. Every station all the time is teaching Revelation, okay? You can get all you want right there. But they want to get some from here, right? We want the real meat, where the real stuff is. The book of Revelation. This is Yom Kippur. But not to disappoint those people that really want the real meat stuff, I decided to do something out of Revelation today. How does that fit anyway? Well, you know, in our book of Acts study on Thursday nights, we're at the most important part of Paul's ministry. His most successful time was at Ephesus. And we've been doing a series on spiritual warfare from Ephesians and so on. And we talked about the significance and the importance of that event and how important those people were. That congregation became the largest messianic congregation of its time. Timothy became the leader. After Timothy was Onesimus, the runaway slave. that was reconciled, he became the leader. And they did well. They were the model congregation. They were the best. And so in our studies, I kind of threw out a little flyer some time back that talked about, you know, how did they do? Because in last week's study, chapter 20, Paul said goodbye. They would never see him again. And then there was sorrow about that. And so he gave instructions, final instructions, to the leaders of the area. And so my question to the group was, well, how did they do? Did they follow the instructions? And the answer was, we know that they did, because they did very well. And 10 years later, we have the book of Ephesians, which is a wonderful, wonderful document. They did well. But one final thing on the little hand that I gave said, were there any other letters written there? Was there another one? Ephesians 2. Second Ephesians? I don't know. There was another letter that was sent there. And my question was, who sent it? Who wrote it? And the answer is, Yeshua sent it, and he wrote it. The Messiah himself sent them another letter. And how does that letter connect to this holiday? Okay? How does that letter? Well, it connects because it's the most serious and the most important of all issues to address. And it does fit with this holiday. Now, as we look at this, take notice that Yeshua notices congregations. In the book of Revelation, he talks to about seven of them. He names them, calls them by name. He notices congregations. And he has something to say to them. Pardon me. He has something to say to each one. So my question to you this morning, one of them, is what does he notice about us? What is he noticing about us, about you? And if he were to say something to us, what would it be? What would it be? If he were to say something to you today, what would it be? Let's go back to what he said to them, the most significant congregation of its time. Revelation chapter 2. We're looking at the first half of this section today. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, and this is Yeshua speaking, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. That word is menorah, by the way, the menorah. I know your works. Now, this is what Yeshua knows. By the way, what does Yeshua know?
Yes. Okay, yes.
Okay, he knows everything. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. This is good news. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have had patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Wow. A model congregation. And if we stop right there, it would be. The next line, nevertheless, I have this against you. Ooh, I don't want to hear that from Yeshua. I have something against you. I don't want to hear it. Neither did they. This is it. You've left your first love. So remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, they have fallen. And repent, and there's our connection to this holiday, and do the first works, or else, I don't like that one either, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Strong words. Strong words. How does that fit? It fits with the entire holiday season. Yeshua begins, though, his address by praising them. He praised them. They were doing good. They were really doing good, except for one little thing, right? But it's the most important thing there is. It's the most important thing there is. Yeshua praises their labor. He says, this word, these word studies are great. Great words here. The word that's used here describes labor to the point of exhaustion. They work themselves to exhaustion. It's the kind that takes everything out of you, all of your strength. They were hard workers and then some. They went beyond the minimum. And he praises their endurance. That word that's used there means courageous gallantry in the midst of suffering and hardship. Paul, in his farewell in chapter 20 of Acts, said there's going to be some hardships ahead. We've had some, there's more coming. And they wept together. But they endured. They did good. In the midst of the suffering and hardships, they did endure. He praised them that they tested those who claimed to be apostles and were false prophets instead. Yeshua had warned about false prophets who are wolves, but they sure look a lot like sheep. On the outside, he warned, watch for those. They were doing good. Paul said the same thing in chapter 20. Paul had warned the Ephesian leaders about the wolves that would attack the flock. They took heed, and they did well. They protected the flock against the wolves. We have Ephesians 6 about spiritual warfare, the armor of God. They did it, and they did it well, and it worked. But in the midst of doing everything right, being a model congregation, something had gone terribly wrong. Something went wrong in the process. Yeshua proclaimed, I have something against you. Ugh, piercing the heart. Now, if Yeshua were to say that to our congregation, I have something against Adat HaMashiach, what would he say? What would he say? What about some of the people here? What would he say? About you? What would he say about you and me? And by the way, I believe that he's speaking to you and to me about these issues today. So listen to him. What would it be? Where have we gone astray? Yeah, me, where have I gone astray? And the most important question of the holiday season is, how do I get back? How do I get back where I'm supposed to be? What was wrong with them? Their labor was there. They were hard workers. Their endurance was there. Their orthodoxy was there. They had correct theology. They were right. They were right. I want to be right. I want to be right. Don't you? That word righteous, look at the word study there. What's in the word righteous? Okay, this way, righteous, okay? The word right is right there. It's right there, right. We all want to be right. Self-righteousness is that I am right. And that produces arrogance and pride and all kinds of ugly stuff, because in your rightness, you can be wrong, actually. It's a great little cartoon out of a long time ago, and sometime I'll find where it is now. You used to be able to rent it. It was called It's Not Always Right to Be Right. It talked about those kind of people who took pride in their rightness and weren't open to any kind of change or somebody pointing out, you may be wrong a little bit here. Oh, no, we are right. And you can be out of balance. Being right can actually produce its own set of problems. In their being right, they were wrong. What happened? For Yeshua to say, I have something against you, and to call them to repentance means it's sin. That's what you do with sin. You point it out and you make a call to repentance. That was sin. It indicated something was wrong. Something was missing. What was it? What was it? It's love. Love was missing. The glue that holds everything together. Yeshua basically was saying, you left your first love. You've left your first love, and it's me. It's me. I hope you hear Yeshua's heart this morning, because it's right here in this book. You've left your first love, and it's me. The love that you had at first, that's the one I'm talking about. This is not infatuation. This is not an emotion. This is not a tingly feeling good thing, okay? The wording here, the Greek words that are used, means first place. First place. Is he in first place? Is he number one? First place in your life. That's what this is talking about. Your first love. The priority of love. Is he that? That's what this is talking about. He was saying to them, I'm not in first place. But I was once. I was there once. Maybe he was saying to them something like this. You know, you're right in all that you do, and you love what you're doing. Because it's right. But you love what you're doing more than you love me. And that's wrong. I don't care how right you are in your statement of faith and your practice. If you love that more than you love me, that's sin. That is sin. And you need to repent and come back. He says, repent and do. We'll talk about the doing in a bit here. How can you have a command to love? Thou shalt love. How can you do that? It sure sounds a lot like the Shema to me, doesn't it? It's a command. You shall love the Lord your God. How? Well, the best you can. That's not what it says. With all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with your total being, he is in first place everywhere in your heart to begin with. A command to love. Okay, let's go back to high school, college days, okay? Just a bit. And you who are here, who are single in particular, and are of college age, young, looking into the future. If you had the power, if you were given the power, the absolute power, to make someone fall in love with you, okay, would you use that power? And say, well, yeah, there is someone I think I would go, okay, you will love me. You will love me. Would you use that power? I wouldn't. Let me tell you why. Because you want someone to fall in love with you because they really fell in love with you, not because you made them. It's really their choice, their heart. It came from within them. That's where it's meaningful, not that you made something happen, you manipulated something, you caused it, you had the power, you zapped them. That same principle applies to Yeshua. A number of years ago, I had a man who I had been working with, dealing with and on these issues. And the Lord was drawing him, okay? And he came into my office one day. No appointment. He's just there, okay? I need to know this now. He said, because he said the Lord was actually yanking him. You know, that's good. This is good. And he said, so why doesn't, and he was struggling, you know, going both ways. And the concept was, why doesn't he just, you know, stop this stuff and just make me, okay? Force me. You know, force me into submission. Just cut that stuff and just say, okay, you will love me. You will believe. I make you believe now, and then I'm saved, right? And so I use that same example. I said, you know, let's go back a few years when you were single and this lovely person caught your eye. Would you have used the power to make them fall in love with you? He said, well, no, because, and we walked through all the reasons. Well, Yeshua is the same way. He's a gentleman. He is willing to come into your life if you invite him. He's not going to barge in. He's not going to knock down the door. He's there waiting for an invitation. But he's not going to make you love him. He wants to respond when you do because it's your choice and it comes from your heart. Okay? It has to be real. It has to be real from your heart. By the way, in that story, when I told that, he said, okay, I see that. That if he made me, it wouldn't be me making the choice. I says, yeah, and you're accountable for your choice. About 2 days later, I came home and he's on the porch. Now, Susan is home, but he's on the porch. Okay? Okay, and so the opening line was, I want Yeshua and I want him now. Okay? No more wasted time. But you see, it had to be I want. That was it. I want him. That was the line Yeshua wanted to hear. I want him. I want him. Yeshua makes the call to repentance and even clarifies some of the stuff that it's. He says, do. Do what? Yeah, it's a very Jewish concept. The hearing and the doing. The hearing, I pointed it out, the job of the prophet. Yeshua's prophet, priest, and king. The prophet was point out the sin. Okay, this is the sin. I'm not first. You don't love me like you once did. That's a problem because you may have your stuff working right in the congregation, but it's going to fizzle and die soon because the love for me has to be first, number one. So do the first works, a very Jewish concept. How you fix it? Well, you put Yeshua first. That's what you do. You put Yeshua first, and you come back. Teshuvah, which is the whole concept of this holiday season. You come back to a relationship with him, to doing what makes all the other things come to life. All the rightness that we do will lose its life if he's not first. First in your life, first in the life of the people on this platform, and in me. And if he's not first, what I say and do will fizzle into nothing. It will. And the same with you. Come back to our relationship, to doing what makes all this stuff come to life. And Yeshua is saying, that would be loving me. Loving me. With all that you are. Yeshua was saying, I want your heart, your whole heart. You know, and the best example is King David. Read his Psalms. He exposed his heart. I love you with my whole heart. He would say it again and again and again. God loves to hear that from his people. I love you with my whole heart. I have chosen to do this. It's my choice. This is what I want. I want you first in my life, not in the leftovers. Yeshua is saying, come back to me. Come back to me. You know what? I think those are words from him to you this morning. And I think he's saying them softly and gently to you. Come back to me. Come back to me. They left. He didn't leave. They left. He calls for the return of the heart, your heart, my heart. And he provides the steps right here. He gives the outline. Every preacher's dream. The outline's right there. Step one. He said, first, remember. Remember. He's speaking to believers, by the way. He says, remember, you've lost something. Yeah. Something of great value. Remember what you had at one time. Remember what that felt like, what that was like. Sometimes remembering can be the first step in return. Do you recall way back last week in the message of the prodigal son? That was just last week. He came to himself, right? When did that happen? When he remembered home. He remembered, oh, that's what it was like. Oh, a lot better than here. First step is remembering. Can you remember what it was like when he had first place? What was that like? That was nice. Wasn't that nice? That was nice. Sometimes it's when we first come to the Lord. What theology do we know? Nothing. Didn't seem to matter much, did it? That we didn't know anything. We could walk with him. We could hear his voice. We fellowshiped. We had a dramatically changed life. Come back, he said. Come back. Can you remember what it's like when he was first? When he held that spot? When there was a love relationship? Second step, he says, repent. Repent means it's a sin. How can not being, it's a sin. He calls it a sin, and it's a big one. And it must be repented of. If Yeshua calls it sin, it's sin, okay? Repentance begins with admission of the fault. You know, that the fault is ours, okay? The prodigal son, remember, way back last week, declared, I will arise and go to my father and say, I have sinned. That's it. No excuses. Okay? No blaming somebody else. It was my brother's fault. No. No. He said, I have sinned. That's the picture of true repentance. That's what he's calling us to do. To do these steps. And third, he says, do. Well, in the doing, what is it? True repentance is not a road to sorrow, to wallow in your sin, and this is so awful, and this is so bad, and so terrible, and look how awful it is, I'm so unworthy. True repentance is a road to action, to take action, to fix it. Fix it. Don't complain about it. Fix it. No one needs to stay where they are. Fix it. The three steps, if you like to remember things that all start with the same letter, as preachers like to give. Remember, repent, return. Come back. Take action. Remember, repent, return. The doing of the word. That's up to you. What about the lampstand piece? The lampstand thing. He starts off with the lampstand. It's the menorah, the light. The light. A congregation can exist and do the right stuff, can practice the right things. They can do it all correctly, but without being a light that eradicates darkness. You can have everything all lined up perfect, have everything in order, but not be the light. Yeshua, the ultimate light, said, we are the lights of the world. We're to shine. When you're out witnessing in the streets, I doubt if you take our statement of faith and go through it with people. They don't care about that. They care about understanding how I can connect my heart with Yeshua's heart. Can you show me that? And what that will do for me. That's what they want to know. We're to be lights that shine in darkness, Nobody cares about our correct theology. I love correct theology. I went to school and I loved all those classes. They're great. I love being able to explain it. But the number one thing, that isn't the number one thing. The number one thing is a heart connection to our Messiah who's alive. And that light needs to shine. That's what we want to be contagious about. When people are drawn here, it's not that, well, we came here because we just loved your statement of faith. That bothered me a little bit. Because I felt the love of Yeshua in this building. See, that's how I came to the Lord. I knew nothing about theology. I saw people. They were kids. They were high school kids that led me to the Lord. I saw them shine in their lives. I went to school with them. I went to a church with them. And I saw them. I go, what is with you? What is it that you have? And it was Yeshua. And I said, well, that's what I want. Whatever it is they have, I want that. Don't know anything about theology. Then the question was, well, so how do I get that? Well, they told me. And it worked. I'm still here, okay? It works. It works. When he comes in, he comes in. And he changes lives. Didn't know anything about the theology of that congregation. Didn't matter. I wanted what those kids had that I saw. They were lights that shined. What makes our light shine brightly? It's our love for Yeshua. Those kids were in love with Yeshua, and I saw it. And that was magnetic. That was attractive to me. I wanted to be with those kids, not with my buddies. Well, my buddies weren't much fun. I go, wait a minute, the fun is over here. I mean, the fun, let me tell you the fun we had. We sang, okay, and we prayed. That was the fun part. And we talked about what the Lord's doing in our life. And I thought, this is fun. So much so that my parents called the place and said, what are you really doing there? Well, we're singing and we're giving testimonies about the Lord in our life and we're praying. And they said, my son's going there versus with his buddies? What's really going on over there? Because I saw that was fun. That was fun. I would come home refreshed, joyful, and not having to confess any sin. It felt so good to come home clean. I said, I want to be with those kids. They don't sin. Well, of course they did, but I mean, it wasn't like my buddy sinned. That's a different story, right? They would go out to sin. Different story, some other time, okay? The spiritual vitality springing from the love of Yeshua in this congregation, they once had it, degenerated into correct routine. The correct routine. I pray that never happens here. You see, we can be right, and we can stand on our statement of faith, and I think it's correct, okay? I do. But we can be dead right. Dead. You get it? I don't want to be dead right. A congregation can continue to exist without being a light in the darkness. You even have a lot of people coming. I pray first and foremost for life in this congregation and in you, for spiritual life that radiates light, Yeshua's light, because of our love for him. Because he's first, he's number one. Our love for a living Messiah in whom we have a living relationship. It's alive, it's connected, it's electric, it's magnetic, all those great words. Because it's real, it's real. And that love and that relationship and who he is what shines through us and quenches darkness. And then in our classes and teachings, they get caught up to what all this stuff means and how it all works. The book of Hebrews, how it all connects, stuff like that. Remember Paul's commission that Yeshua gave him to turn people. You know, we're not to stand back and just let them. We're to turn people. You know, if they're going the wrong way, sometimes you got to grab them and say, look, this way, come on, we're going this way. To turn people, that's an extremely Jewish picture and concept of this holiday season, Teshuvah, turn and return. Come into the presence of God. Because only there will you find peace and joy and happiness and fulfillment. Only there. Paul's commission was to turn people from darkness to light. There's the lampstand. We're to be agents of repentance. Agents of repentance. And you can't do that unless you have repented. Okay? You have to be the example. You have to have Yeshua first in your life, and then you can be the agent of repentance. Now, with all that in mind, let's talk a little bit about orthodoxy here. Okay, the most orthodox Jew that ever lived is Yeshua. He didn't have any problem with orthodoxy. He's our role model, okay? He's also the most gracious and gentle person that ever lived. And he brings life to the Word. You know, he brings life to the Word. He brings light to the world through you. He is love incarnate. Okay, that's John chapter 1. The love of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And what he wants most is for you and for me, his sons and his daughters, to love him back, and to put him first in our life. With all that we are, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, that he would be first. How can we demonstrate that we do this? How about spending quality time with him? You spend time with him? If you really love someone, you'll want to spend time with them. I got to tell you, the one thing at the top of your list is spending time with so-and-so, if you love them, because you just love being there. Doesn't matter what you're doing, does it? You just want to be with them. Whatever it is fine, because the point is being with them. Not what you're doing, but who you're doing it with. Are you spending time with him? If he's the one you love most, are you spending the most time with him? Today would be a good day. There's no lunch today back there. Quality time. In prayer, in fellowship. Are you listening to him? He wants to speak to you. Do you verbalize your heart? David did. In the Psalms, he verbalized his heart. He spoke out what was in here. Are you living a life in total submission to him? Is he your king? In total submission to the master's rule. He's your master. Is he first? Can you say, Yeshua is Lord? You know, that was the first doctrinal statement of the early believers that was put in writing. It wasn't very long. Ours has 13 points and 6 or 7 points above that to start it off, right? The very first one was these words, Yeshua is Lord. I love it. Is he? In those times, do you verbalize, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You know, when you love someone, you want to tell them. You want to tell them. Do you tell him? I love you, Lord. Is he the love of your life? He's supposed to be. The love of your eternal life is calling you to come back to him. To him. He's saying gently, come back to me. Come back to me. Where he's first. And you will experience what love really means. What it's really all about. You're invited to come home into the embrace of the one who loves you more than anyone possibly can. And he's saying to you today, come back to me. Lord, I thank you for the depth of your heart and how you care and the words that you give us. In the invitation to return, you want to be our first love, the love that's in first place above all others. Lord, so be it. Show us what we need to do to fix the problem. But I thank you that you pointed it out. May we have ears to hear and a heart that receives and a brain that does the right thing and puts it all together. Lord, I pray we would be people of action. Rather than pointing out everybody else's shortcomings and sins and they fall short in other congregations and other people, we would just look in the mirror and say, thank you for this opportunity to fix the things that have gone wrong in my life. Lord, I confess to you that I have sinned because I have not loved you as I should. I want you to be first in my life. Please take that position. It's rightfully yours. I give it to you in Yeshua's name. And then I pray I would have ears to hear what you have to say because I want to do what you want me to do. And be what you want me to be, wherever that is. I want you first, and I want you leading me. And then everything else will all fall into place. Thank you. Thank you. And I pray that this holiday season we would take heart at your open arms of restoration. We read in Hebrews last night, the door is open. We've been invited to come in, to commune with you, to fellowship with you, invited to draw near into the presence of the King, where things can be made right. May we bow before him and say, I love you, Lord, and mean it. In Yeshua's name, amen.